Okay, good evening. We'll begin in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and then we'll commit the service to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel, Lord. Thank you for this knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ, Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is to be reminded of it day in, day out. And Lord, we pray that we would glory in you and what you've done for us, Father, and that you would help us to understand your word more and more, that we can grow in the love of your word, Lord, and love for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to spend some time tonight looking at the cross. Its significance to the Christian is not because it gives us something tangible hanging up on a wall to worship or something for us to wear as a decoration. So the object itself isn't what we focus on, but rather the event of the crucifixion. We don't try to relive the experience either by contemplative prayer or meditative prayer or anything like that, or trying to simulate it literally, like some cults in the Philippines do, by nailing themselves to a cross. So these superstitious practices are ridiculous when you think about it anyway, because the whole point of crucifixion is to execute you. It's supposed to actually kill you in an extremely painful way. That was its intent when the Romans employed it, and by Christ's day it was common practice to execute undesirables of the Roman Empire this way. It was particularly useful as well because, just as our Lord says would happen to him in John 12, 32 and 33, if you'll turn there, the crucified person would be lifted up and displayed for all to see. That's John 12, 32 to 33. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die, speaking of the crucifixion. So their agony was to serve as an example to deter anyone who would transgress Rome's authority. So this is why crucifixion was so popular amongst the Romans. Crosses were very public symbols, therefore, and Jesus knew many would see his death. And the crucifixion typifies the Lord's broadcasting of his sacrifice for the world, for everyone to behold. He chose it, and he made a public example of himself this way. The specific circumstances of his death on the cross were also preordained. We can see that they were special, as we read in John 19:32-37. I'll get you to turn it with me, please. John 19, verses 32-37. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith truth, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. So the Lord had already chosen the circumstances of Jesus' crucifixion. You can also read of him in Psalm 22. So very specific. Of course, we know too from the types of the Old Testament that the sacrifice of atonement must include the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22 specifically states this. The Lord's blood was indeed shed on Calvary by the scourging he received prior, the nailing of his hands and feet, and also the spear wound in his side. God had said that the payment for sin was the lifeblood of his son from the very beginning. This is evident in Genesis when the Lord also instituted the type to represent this exchange in the animal sacrifice. He clothed Adam and Eve in animal skins when their own choice of clothing, the fig leaves, proved to be inadequate coverings for their shame. And again, God found Abel's sacrifice from his flock acceptable, because that is what God had clearly told him to do, whereas Cain tried to go his own way and institute his own kind of sacrifice, and of course he found that it was non-negotiable. He was disappointed. God set the fine, and he set it such that ultimately only he could pay it in full, and that's through Jesus, the precious Lamb of God, who satisfied this blood payment for us. And so the real significance of the cross, as I said, was never in the object itself, but what was accomplished on that cross. It was an act of pure love and justice in one. Turn with me, please, to Romans 5:6-11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see both the love of God's love and his justice are manifest in the cross. The magnitude of these are clearly visible. Love so great it could extend even to the most undeserving creatures you could imagine, right, who have nothing worthwhile within themselves to warrant God's sacrifice, and justice so thorough, of course, that it would not be neglected even if it had to be transposed onto God's own Son. The nature of our sin becomes so much clearer when we study the events on Calvary, and hopefully we can appreciate what it means to have God die on a cross for our transgressions. You can imagine, since we read all through the Gospels, when the Father spoke approvingly from heaven toward Jesus, that God held the value of his only Son's blood to be inestimable. He saw it as beyond value. If that blood alone was only adequate to pay for our sins, friends, what does that say about the magnitude of our sins? Clearly, as the fire which is never quenched and the worm which dieth not testify, our sins are eternally grievous. It's never that Jesus' blood only just paid for them either, though. Jesus' blood more than covered all the sins of the world. But if it is ever hard to believe how bad is the sin that the Lord has freed us from, that it is worthy of eternal punishment in the lake of fire, just consider that an eternal being had to die to redeem us from them. And I am convinced that Jesus would have died for me or you, even if we alone were the only ones who had sinned. And yet our individual sin would still require Christ's death to acquit us. Sin is just as serious a thing for the Christian, because those sins are counted as much paid for as those before our new birth, but nevertheless they still incur a penalty. The Lord has paid for our sins, past, present, and future, if we have repented and trusted in him. Our sin inflicted the crucifixion on him. We ought to remember that. And really, how much greater does the sin of the Christian express in gratitude when we should know what the price was? We'll close in Ephesians 2:13-18. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make him in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what was done on the cross, Lord, that your dear Son shed his blood for our sins. Father, we pray that we keep this always before us as we live our lives, Lord, that we would be ever thankful for it, Lord, and we would glorify you, and that we would share our testimony with the unsaved, Lord. We pray that you bless everyone that's here this evening. Help us, Lord, as we go out into the world to walk in the Spirit, Lord, and bring us again for fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray.